Okay, so as you look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing not a nice letter. The church in Corinth had some issues. They had some things that weren't right. And so, you know, as he was starting to get into the first part of the letter here, one of the things that he has to deal with, he said, first of all, you know what, I can't teach you deep things. I can't teach you higher spiritual things because you're not ready for it. All I can give you is milk. And you should be stronger, but yet, for some reason, you're still drinking the milk. You're not ready. You're still carnal. You're still in your basic Christianity. You're still babes. You haven't grown one bit since I was there. And so one of the things that he deals with right away is that there's divisions. There's divisions in the church. There's Connor. there's divisions in the church. Here, Paul is saying, you know what, there's not supposed to be a division. You know, there's not supposed to be of people who are followers of Paul, people who are followers of Apollos, people who are, followers of Peter. We're all supposed to be followers of Christ. We're not supposed to be followers of man. Because honestly, men will fail you. They will disappoint you. They will show that they are weak, that they can't be relied upon, because no person can stand upon the pedestal for too long, because they will fall. God will knock it out from underneath them, and everything you hold precious to you will crumble because you put your faith and your trust in a man rather than in God. And that's what these Corinthians were doing. They were putting themselves, they're lifting up, well, I'm following Peter. Well, I'm following Apollos, or I'm following Paul. And Paul said, don't do that. Don't do that. You're supposed to be following Christ. And as he gets that situation figured out, he then goes into how to help them understand the ministry that God has called every single Christian to do. I just had a curiosity. I want to see whoever, the very first time that you have ever heard the gospel, that you got saved. When someone first told you the gospel for the very first time, how many in here actually who got saved the very first time they heard it? I see a couple hands. What about maybe one or two times they heard the gospel? Not that many hands. How about so many times that you lost count before you finally realized that you were lost? And that you needed salvation. You see, a lot of times what we do is we get discouraged. When we go out and we tell someone the gospel and they don't want to hear. And they turn you away. Or, you get to a good opportunity and something comes up and you get all flustered and frustrated. And you're like, man, I almost was able to really show them how to be saved. And the devil allows something to come up and snatch that opportunity away. It can get very frustrating, can it? I mean, our heart, we have family, we have friends, we have co-workers, we want them to get saved, our hearts are burdened for them, and it seems like every opportunity that we tell them, it's like, it's just, is it making a difference? Is it making a difference? Well, tonight, I want to look at this portion of Scripture. And the first thing that I want to share with you is that every single opportunity that you have to witness to somebody, to tell them anything about God, to share the gospel with them, to share some verses with them, there's three things that happen. One of three things happen every single time. Look at verse number 6. The very first thing is that Paul says here, I have planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. You see, Paul, when he came to Corinth, he was spreading the gospel seed around. They had never heard about Christianity before. And so he was just sowing the seed. It was a new thing. It was something that they couldn't comprehend. Did everybody get saved right then and there? No, of course not. He was just being faithful, though, telling everybody that he could about Jesus Christ. how they could be born again, how they could trust Christ as their Savior, how they could be spared from the wrath to come. And he was just planting that seed and planting that seed. All he did, all he cared about was getting that seed out, getting the gospel out. That's all he cared about. Then came Apollos. Apollos, if I remember right, he kind of became the pastor there in the Corinthian church. He kind of took over after Paul left. And Apollos, when Apollos came in, he began to water that seed. He confirmed the things that Paul had preached. When Paul preached, you must be born again. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then when Paul left, here comes Apollos. And Apollos is saying, you must be saved. You must be born again. You've got to trust Christ as your Savior. He was confirming what Paul said. And so he was adding onto, he was watering the seed that Paul had spread there in Corinth. And sometimes it can take a very long time for that seed to reap. It can take decades. Every single crop that's out there has a different time frame for it to come up, isn't there? I mean, you have to plant different crops at different seasons. And some take, some produce fruit a lot quicker than the rest. I mean, corn takes several months before you can actually finally harvest it and get good ears of corn. Strawberries and things like that, that's a very quick turnover. Each crop has a different time before it's ready to bear fruit. There is a forest called the Tiger Forest. It is the northernmost forest in the world. It's actually the largest forest that there is. It spans three continents, but it's at the very tip of the Arctic. And I mean, as far, as soon as you get to Arctic and as far north as you can go, there's trees there. Jennifer and I were watching a documentary called Planet Earth. And now some of the things that they say is, evolution twisted, but when I was watching those things, they were talking about the forest. And they're talking about this forest called the Tiger Forest. And they were saying that for a seed to fall from one of these trees, it could take up to 56 years for it to finally begin to take, to begin to germinate. For 56 years, it's waiting in the ground, waiting to be able to start to grow because of the coldness, the severe coldness of the temperatures. Now, there's probably some people who we've given up on. Their hearts seem like they're cold. They don't want to hear the gospel. They've completely, it's like they've turned off a switch in their head and in their heart. Don't want to listen to it. But you know what? The seed is in their heart still. What you have told them is still in their heart. And there might come a day when everything is shaken up in their life. And God will bring that seed back to mind. And you want to know who they're going to probably call? You. Or someone they know who they can help them with. Just because we've given somebody the gospel and they said, nope, not interested, doesn't mean that's it. A lot of times that's kind of what we've done. We knock on the door and we try to give them the gospel, and as soon as we start talking, hi, I'm Andrew from Bible Baptist Church here in Ballincollig. Oh, nope, not interested. We say, well, can I give you this leaflet? Nope, got my own religion, not interested. So, okay. And so we leave and we think, well, so much for that one. He doesn't want to listen. But who knows? The next time that you might have an opportunity to knock on that door again, God may do something to shake that person up, to break that hardness in their heart, to when you knock on that door and say, you know what, if you were to die today, do you know what would happen to you? I'm just going as an illustration here. So, well, I'm glad that you stopped by. I was just diagnosed with cancer and I've got 2 weeks to live. How can I know that I'm going to heaven? I'm just using an illustration, but I've seen it. I know that it's happened before. Where people were at the end of their life, and they had completely turned God and said, no, not interested. And yet God still sends a faithful soul winner to knock on their door and give them another chance. That's the grace of God. And sometimes we can get so discouraged because it seems like every single door, no, not interested. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to listen. You know, and we get so disheartened that we get to the point where, why do I even want to bother? Why do I even want to knock on another door? Why do I even want to talk to people? I know what the answer is anyway. And it can be very easy to get that way. But yet, we're supposed to be faithful. You see, we're not supposed to leave the results up to us. You know, I mean, I wish every single person that we speak to gets saved. I wish that were the case. I mean, Ireland would experience revival. But sadly, that's not the case. I mean, I'm praying that revival would come, that God would work on people's hearts, and that we would see that kind of an increase, that we'd see that kind of a change in people's life. But sadly, we live in a country where they've said no to God. And one of these days, it's not us that they're going to have to be held accountable to. It's going to be God. See, God, all He said to do was, I want you to go. Go ye into the uttermost parts of the world. That's all we're supposed to do. God said, I want you to go. Leave the results up to me. A lot of times, you know, we're so desperate, we want to just see somebody get saved, and it's almost like we'll twist their arms, and we just say this prayer, you know, and get saved. They're no more saved than they were 10 minutes before you stopped at their door. You see, a lot of times we think, well, what way can I say it to make them understand better? What way can I say it to convince them that they need Christ as their Savior? And a lot of times we try to do it ourselves and we don't let the Holy Spirit work. See, the Holy Spirit is the one that draws men to God. And it's He is the one that works on people's hearts. He is the one that we have to rely upon, allow Him to work in people's lives. We're just the vessels. That's all we are. And sometimes we do get the opportunity where somebody, the Holy Spirit has been working in their life and they're at that point where they really want to know Christ. They're really looking for help. And we get that opportunity and God lets us lead them to Christ. But oftentimes, we take it upon ourselves saying, I have to do this. You know, I have to be a good Christian. I have got to do this. If I don't see people get saved, then I'm a failure. God just said you to go. He didn't say how much He's promised that you're going to be able to see you led to Him. He just wants you to be faithful. That's it. And if we see people saved and we get the opportunity to lead people to the Lord, that's an extra blessing. But we're still just supposed to go and give the gospel. Secondly, not every seed planted will grow. You know, when a farmer, he plants seeds, he doesn't just plant one seed and leave his field. He plants hundreds of seeds. And even in the most perfect conditions, perfect soil, perfect temperature, perfect amount of water, not every seed grows, does it? Some die, some never germinate, some just don't take off. But when we give the gospel and we plant that seed in their life, ultimately it's their decision to accept Christ. It's their decision whether or not they ever want to trust Christ as their Savior. So when they say, no, not interested, don't take that personally. It's not you who they're rejecting. It's not you that they're saying no to. They're saying no to Christ. They don't want God in His life. They don't want God. They think, well, you know what? I'm fine right now as I am. I don't need God. Things are going great. But the moment things start to go upside down, that's when God can begin to work. So don't take rejection personally. Thirdly, soul winning doesn't end when a person gets saved. Sometimes, at least in American Baptist churches, you know, people would go and knock on the doors and you know, then people get saved at the door. And that's the last they ever talk to them. You know, they say, hey, you know, you need to go to church on Sunday. And the person says, okay. And they just walk on and never bother to hear from that person one bit. Never follow up with them. And, you know, that person never comes to church. Never grows. And we wonder, man, why aren't we seeing their church increase? You know, we're seeing people get saved, but why is it just seem like nothing's growing? Because we're letting them fall through the net, so to speak. You know, we're supposed to be fishers of men, but we're letting them go back out into the ocean. Soul winning doesn't stop when a person gets saved. That's why discipleship is so important. Not just discipleship, but accountability. I mean, when you lead someone to the Lord, you should make it a personal goal in your life. I'm going to keep up with this person. Even if they don't like it, I'm going to keep up with this person. You know? Even if they think I'm a pest. You know? But the reason, the goal in your life should be, you know what? I want them to grow. I want them to get grounded. You see, when I first got saved, when I was 17 years old, I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. I mean, if someone said, we're going to learn about Jehoshaphat, I would have said, God bless you. You know? I didn't know who Jehoshaphat was. I didn't realize he was such a godly king and things like that. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I'd say probably 90% of the Bible books were. I knew Genesis and I knew Revelation. That was about it. You know, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I hardly knew any Bible stories. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up out in a worldly home. And so when I first got saved, I knew nothing. I didn't know anything about baptism. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. All I knew is that I knew I was a sinner and that Jesus Christ was the only answer and that I needed to trust Christ as my Savior in order to have my sins forgiven. That's all I knew. But it was enough that for me to get saved. But beyond that, I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing about the Old Testament. Didn't know nothing about the New Testament. Didn't know nothing about the doctrines of the Bible. And yet, had I been left by myself, I would have floundered and I would have been left out into the world. I actually tried when I first got saved. I said, okay, I'm going to try and read the Bible. You know, I heard it preached that you got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. I turned to the book of Revelation and I said, well, if I think I'm good at understanding prophecy. And, so this should be pretty easy for me to understand. And I began to, I think I got to chapter 4. And I had no idea what in the world they were even talking about. And it was way so far above my head, I had no hope of catching anything. And I got so discouraged, I stopped reading the Bible, and stopped going to church. And I was like that for about 6 months. So somebody kept after me, was a pest, kept on knocking on my door and saying, hey, you know, how's Andrew doing? You need to come to church. You need to come to church. And finally, the Lord used those people in my life, and I really, when I decided that I really wanted to know God, talk about that revival thing. It was almost as if, you know, the devil had put a snare. You know, have you ever seen a trap? You know, that little rope hook around my leg. Felt no matter as much as I wanted to go to church, I couldn't. As much as I maybe wanted to read the Bible, I couldn't. I was stuck. I couldn't do nothing. And I said, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you more. And it was like a giant pair of scissors came in and went, cut that rope, and I never turned back. I never turned back. I began to go to church three days a week. Began to read the Bible. A close family friend of ours bought me my Bible. By the way, it's the one I preached from today. I had it rebound. This thing is the most precious possession, I should say, in my life. They bought me my first Bible. I've read it several times. But had it not been for others making a difference and trying to be in my life to help me grow, I know I wouldn't be here today. I know it. I wouldn't be standing in front of you. I wouldn't be preaching. You see, when we plant a new tree, a new sapling, you don't just see it just standing there by itself. Most times, when you see new trees being planted, they've always got poles next to it, don't they? And they have, they're tethered, you know, so they're tethered to these poles. So that way, first of all, the tree will grow straight. Secondly, for when the gusts come in, when the strong winds come in, it doesn't just blow the tree right over. It's to keep that tree secure. And when I looked at that, I said, you know what? I remember that was me. I'm thankful that people came up beside me and kept me accountable. Were made sure that they were in my life and made a difference in my life. And when the gusts came, when the hardships of life came, I didn't just blow out. They helped me. They were there for me when I needed the most. That's how we're supposed to be as Christians. Those of us who might be, you know, more mature in our Christianity, we know the Bible, we know the doctrines of the Bible, and we know how important the Word of God is. And for some people who get saved, we should decide, you know what, we need to be a mentor. We need to be accountable to people. And take somebody underneath your wing and just say, you know what, I'm going to keep on top of this person. If they're gone in church, I'm going to follow up and say, hey, why weren't you in church on Sunday? I missed you. Because a lot of times people will miss a couple Sundays and they'll, you know, nobody ever contacts them. And so they wonder, wow, am I even missed? And the devil will start working on that seed of doubt. And pretty soon, if nobody calls, nobody rings, and he'll start working on that seed, see, that church didn't care about you. All you were was a number to them. They could care less about you. Why even bother going back? I could tell you there's probably countless people who no longer come to this church because the devil got a hold of their heart and said, you know what, those people don't care about you. And they said, okay, I'm not coming back. And they have since allowed bitterness to come in their heart, and they have no desire to know anything about God. Soul winning doesn't end when a person gets saved. That's just the beginning. And we need, if we get an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, make sure that you are in that person's life, that you help them to grow, because otherwise they won't. Fourthly, Christ laid the foundation. Look at verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul here is saying, Jesus already laid the foundation. No one else can lay down another foundation. He's already laid it down. And our Christian life should be built on top of the foundation that Jesus Christ has laid. You know, it's not supposed to be on any of the saints. It's not a foundation like as he was saying, it's not a foundation built upon Paul. Don't build your life around me. Don't build your life around anyone else in the church. Build it upon God. Build it upon Jesus Christ. Get in this book. Learn the Bible. Learn to know who God is. Learn to know who Jesus Christ is, because He is the one that our life should be founded upon. He is the one that is the foundation. A foundation is the very trying to think of an easy explanation for it. When you build a house, the foundation is dug deep into the ground. So that way when the winds come, when the floods come, the house doesn't just go down the hill. You know, it's actually rooted. It's set inside the ground. And that foundation is what keeps that house together. If you got a bad foundation, your house is going to fall to pieces. You need to have a good foundation. That's what the Word of God is. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way. Everyone else is trying to build their own their own ways to heaven, and that's just going to be all tossed away one day. Christ is the foundation. There's no other foundation that can be built upon. Lastly tonight, God will reward according to our labor. He's going to reward us for our labor for Him. You know what? Now, I'm glad that God is gracious. I mean, God is so good. Not only has He bought and paid for my forgiveness on Calvary, not only has He completely paid it all, He took my place on that cross. He was my substitution. And yet now He says, once you are born again and once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, not only you get forgiven, but now I want to reward you for serving me. I want you to serve me, not for the rewards. But when you serve me, you will be rewarded. Now our heart's intent is going to show us whether or not we allow God to use it or if we're being used by God. What I mean by that is a lot of times we can go to church and we can serve God in our own strength sometimes. You know, we go and maybe we teach Sunday school and we do it in our own power. We don't ask God for help. We say, oh, I got this, you know, I can do this, no problem. And God says, well, I wish you would have let me use you, you know. But we say, no, I can do it my own way. I've got everything planned, I've got everything prepared, I've got everything all set, and I'm going to do it this way. And God says, okay. And we do it in our own strength. Same thing happens with preaching, with anything. When we try to serve God in our own strength, rather than relying upon Him to give us the strength to serve Him, relying upon the grace that He gives us to serve Him. And if you look here in verse number 12, He says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Those first three, the gold, silver, and precious stones, those are the things that's our service when God is the one that's controlling and running our life. When we serve the Lord because we get to, not because we have to. When we ask God, there's not much I can do today. But Lord, would You use me somehow today? Maybe just talking to someone, encouraging someone, maybe just, you never know. But that wood, hay, and stubble, that's when we try to do it ourselves. You know, that's when we try to, we come to church because we have to. We serve God because we have to. There's no joy. There's no happiness. All you are is grumpy, disgruntled, and you can see it on your face. You don't even want to be here. Those things, verse number 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man's work, everything that he's done in his life is one day going to be made shown, is going to be shown. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Everything that we've done in our life, God is going to put it, I don't know how, don't understand it all, but He's going to put it in, and He's going to try it by fire. And everything that was that wood, hay, and stubble, that we try to do in our own strength, to do in our own power, and didn't rely upon God, that's going to burn right up. Burn right up. But the things that when we allowed God to use us, we desired God to do something in our life, that is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, and that won't burn. that won't burn. And that's going to be the rewards that God gives us for the millennium. But if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. When I look at that, I see eternal security. Even though a person can trust Christ as Savior and do absolutely nothing with his life for God. I mean, he may have trusted Christ as a Savior and he said, you know what, this Christian thing isn't really for me. You know, I don't want to go to church anymore. And he completely turns his heart back to the world. Now the Bible says everything that he's done with the rest of his life is going to burn up. But he himself shall be saved. But he's not going to have no rewards. And he's going to look at it, and when all that burns up, he's going to regret that he didn't do anything with his life. He's going to regret that if he only had one more opportunity to go to church, if I just had one more opportunity to serve God, at least I could have something. God will reward according to our labor for him. I'm telling you, that's amazing. In verse number 8, it says here, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. As we're out there knocking on the doors, there's no difference between those who are knocking on the doors and planting the seed and those who are watering it. God says, you're the same. Nobody is more special. You know, just because you get to water and you get a better opportunity, maybe of witnessing to somebody than those who knocked on the door and got rejected every single time. There's no difference. You're working together. But look also what verse 8 says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The things that you do, that's what God's going to reward you for. You know, I can't earn any rewards for Dan. Dan can't earn any rewards for me. I can't earn any rewards for Jennifer. Even though she's my wife, I can't earn something for her. It's her life. It's her faithfulness to God. It's what she does with her life. She'll earn rewards maybe that I won't get. We all earn our own rewards. So tonight, I just want to kind of give you a little bit of a burden for the lost. For those that are out there. I mean, I know how discouraging it can be, especially here in Ireland. You know, I mean, 2.5 years knocking on the doors here. I haven't got a chance to lead anybody to the Lord on the door. I've had opportunities in the States, but here, it just seems like nobody cares. You know, no one cares for God anymore. No one wants to know how they can know that if they were to die that they're going to be in heaven or if they're going to be in hell. It's not it's the farthest thing from their mind. They just don't care. But yet, no matter the results on that door, God says, I want you to be faithful. I want you to go. Because here's the point. If we don't go, nobody else will. And we've already cast judgment. I'm thankful, though, that the grace of God doesn't just give up when we say no once. You know what? Because probably most of us in here, we wouldn't have gotten saved. Had God not worked on our heart, brought another soul winner by, heard another gospel message, and knocked on our heart, to the point where we're saying, I'm not listening, don't want anything. Yet he still kept on knocking on our hearts. And finally, through our own stubbornness, we said, you know what? That person's right. I know I'm lost. Maybe God allows you to go through a situation, breaks your heart, breaks that pride maybe that was around your heart, and you say, you know what? I do need God. I can't live this life anymore. I need something different. I need God to do something in my life, because if my life continues down this road, it's going to end in disaster. I need God. There's people out there like that. Sometimes it's hard to find them. But when you find people who are searching, and God has been working on your heart, those are the gems. And sometimes God just gives us the blessing to be able to lead them to the Lord. But if you get an opportunity, when you're talking to your coworkers, when you're talking to your classmates, when you're talking to people in the dorms, don't get discouraged. Just be faithful. Because it's not in vain. God's word is never in vain. Every time that you hear the gospel, every time that they hear it, something is there's results somehow. And that's what we need to be encouraged by. So I just want to encourage you tonight. That's all I want to do. Because I know sometimes it seems like we're beating our head against a brick wall. It's like, you know, does anybody care? Does anybody want to know? There are people. And you just have to keep on pressing on and pressing on and just continue to witness. Some people's hearts are really hard. And it takes a while to get through. Pray for them. How often do we pray for the people that we work for, that we work with? How often do we pray for our classmates? How often do we pray for our neighbors? Do we ever pray for their salvation? Do we ever pray and ask God, would you use me to talk to them? Maybe the reason why we're not seeing people saved is because we're not praying for them. Because really, we're scared. Because, you know, we might talk to them and they say, yeah, can you tell me what the Bible says? You know, a lot of times we'd be like tongue-tied. Sure, yeah. You know. I've been there where it seems like, you know, door after door, it's like, no, no, no. And so, and then someone says, yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. And you're like, they want me to talk. All right. But it's like, you know, it's hard to do sometimes because it's like, wow, we get an opportunity. Because sometimes we put our mindset in such a thing, they're not going to listen anyway, so why bother? Just keep witnessing. Just keep talking to them. And leave things up to God. Because He's the only one who can bring the increase. We can't do it ourselves. Just trust Him. Just keep trusting Him. And it'll be worth it all in the end. Let's go ahead and bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You. Lord, I just try to be encouragement tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, that we are a church that goes out and we knock on doors. We try to tell others about salvation, that we try to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know sometimes it can be so, I don't know, just hard on us. And you know, sometimes we feel like we're a failure because nobody listens, nobody wants to know, and we think, well, is it me? They're not rejecting us, they're rejecting You. And Lord, I just want to encourage each other, Lord, just to continue to speak, because if we don't tell them, they may never hear. And Lord, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. And Father, I just pray that You would just encourage us tonight. Lord, that we would have a burden for the lost more than we've ever had. God, that we'd pray for our neighbors, that we would pray for opportunities to be able to give the gospel. And that we would take advantage of those every opportunity we get. There are people who are searching. There are people who are looking for You, that desire to know You. And Lord, I pray that You would send us to them. And God, that we'd be able to show them the gospel. And Father, we just want to thank You tonight, Lord, for all that we've heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.